Chapter 53, The Black Forest. We sat at a circular table covered with a white tablecloth and set with crystalware that glittered in the light of a gas chandelier suspended over it. Three waiters stood to attention, their backs to the walls, facing the centre, and each came forward to pull out a chair.
"Did you bring your own cutlery?"
I picked up a heavy rat-tail pudding spoon and looked at the intertwined MR design stamped on the spoon. "Obviously not, but I have never seen anything this good in a railway hotel before."
"You would not expect a member of the Hohenzollern dynasty to eat off the same quality of implement as a travelling salesman."
Sidney Grice rotated a salt cellar a quarter of a revolution counterclockwise and a few degrees back again.
"I am not so interested in such luxuries as you might think."
The prince signalled for a waiter to pour more champagne, though I noticed he had not touched his own drink.
"I have eaten wild boars off a hunting knife in the Schwarzwald."
My godfather began.
"Black Forest,"
I butted in, before he could belittle me with a translation.
"Penultimate train from Burton-on-Trent is 8 minutes late,"
he continued over me.
"But how do you know that?"
Prince Ulrich raised his glass in a toast and put it down untasted. I took a good swig of mine, and a bottle instantly came over my right shoulder to top me up. I could get used to sect, I decided, and being waited upon so attentively.
"Because I heard it pull in at Platform 6 almost 9 minutes ago, and it is the only service still using that particular combination of locomotive and rolling stock on this line."
Mr. G sampled his water and closed his eyes in appreciation of it on his palate.
"I shall meditate upon the advisability of lending you a copy of Radley Radisson's Railways of the Landlocked Counties."
The prince shook his head.
"I can hardly hear the trains at all, let alone distinguish between them."
I waited for Sidney Grice to explain that the German senses were in every way inferior to his own, but he only said,
"When I was 5, my father trained my auditory faculties by blindfolding me and tying me to a post. If I could not guess which wood a switch was made from by listening to him tap his way along the stable floor, he would slash me with all his might across the face."
"How brutal," I cried, as a waiter ladled soup into my bowl. Tomato, not my favourite.
"Not really."
Mr. G replaced his glass in precisely the same spot.
"For I never got it wrong."
"But
if you had?"
our host asked, in the closest thing to concern I had seen from him yet.
"If I have one cognitive blind spot, and I admit to 3, the first is my inability to see the point of getting things wrong."
My guardian sampled his soup.
"Oh, what a shame. It has its own flavour."
I tried mine, and he was right. It was not the usual watery gruel that cook served up, and sometimes poured over our boiled cabbage, under the impression that it was also a sauce. Schlangazan dipped in his spoon.
"I believe you have some experience of military life, Miss Middleton."
"How did you know that?"
"I have read your excellent book about your father, Colonel Geoffrey Middleton, His Life and Times." "That places you in a very select group,"
Sidney Grice commented dryly. Prince Ulrich dabbed his mouth.
"I was sorry to learn of his accident, especially as you were an only child with no mother."
I did not tell him that my father had been murdered, but said, "I hope you found it interesting." The prince swallowed his soup.
"The descriptions of the battle were excellent. One can almost be imagining that you were there."
My father was a good raconteur, and my fiancé had been in a few skirmishes, so he was able to give me some idea of what it was like. The soup was the colour and consistency of blood. Mr. G had unscrewed the cap of a cellar and was trickling salt into his.
"But you are not married."
"He was killed in an ambush in India. I had another secret so dark that I hardly dared tell it, even to myself. I had left Edward to die, and his life had sprayed into my face as he gasped my name with his last breath. I pushed the soup away, slopping it onto, but not quite over, the rim.
I am sorry. Prince Ulrich put his spoon down.
How long have you been knowing Mr. Grice?
Since the 19th of May, 82, the day I moved in, I told him.
19,758 hours ago,
Mr. G. groaned, as if he had suffered torment every minute of every one of them.
Might I ask if you married?
For some reason, I did not feel comfortable using the prince's first name.
He wiped his mouth.
I am thinking I am married to the Imperial Army.
Do you have any siblings?
I picked at a soft white roll. The prince tore his bread in half.
I have four brothers, all younger, and we've a having one sister.
For the first time I saw real emotion in the Prussian's face, the mask pierced with pain, but almost immediately he had repaired it.
Gerda, he said reverently. She died in London 4 years ago of, I am not knowing what you call it in English. In Germany we call it cholera.
We call it that here too.
I had seen countless victims of the disease in an epidemic in Bombay. The profuse rice-water diarrhea, the clear vomiting, the dehydration, the sunken eyes and the laboured breathing. So few sufferers survived it.
Can I ask how old she was?
17, he said,
not quite believing his own words.
So young.
Prince Ulrich clicked his fingers.
Take this soup away, he commanded. Miss Middleton does not like it.
The rest of the meal passed quietly. There was turbot and lobster and saddle of mutton and pheasant and ices and cheeses, though Sidney Grice ate next to nothing, explaining politely that he had anticipated the food being muck and eaten before he came. But I did more than justice to whatever was put before me. Sidney Grice and Prince Ulrich found a mutual interest in philately. The prince sent for his album, and the two men spent the rest of the evening poring over it. There were many excellent wines, though neither man touched them, but I felt I had a duty to try, and was so successful in my efforts that I fell asleep. And the next thing I knew, the prince was laughing and assuring me he had lost count of the number of meetings, plays, and concerts in which he had dozed off.
I generally try to pack her off to bed by about 10 o'clock, my guardian declared.
But he has never yet succeeded, I vowed, as the prince kissed my hand in farewell.